sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
Hello, y'all. You are listening to That's a Freebie, the only podcast in the world that features me. That's mad, that, right? That is actually a true fact in the whole world. Anyway, well, at time of recording, you know, just in case for the future, who knows? As usual, I'm going to open up with an Ask a Freebie question. This is where I get to answer questions that you send in. This week's question is an anonymous one. And the question is really quite straightforward. It's, what's the first app that you open in the morning? And it's a straightforward answer. I open the Reminders app every morning without fail. Like, usually, probably because it's actually the first thing that shows up on my phone because of the way I have reminders set up. So I pick my phone up, I look at my phone. First thing that is on there is a notification from Reminders, because one thing I often forget, or not forget, but have to go looking up, is what day do the kids do PE? So I need to get up in the morning and let them know what day it is, because they, honestly, they are not, well, one of them's a morning kid, but only to a degree. The other one, it takes an hour to get her out of bed. You can tell which one it is, right? And I need to let them know if it's PE or full school uniform that day. So first thing I see in the morning is a reminder telling me if it's a PE day or not. And then I open the Reminders app and go through the things I need to do for the day. I use the Reminders app like most people will probably use a calendar. I have started to try and use the calendar a little bit more often as in association with the Reminders app. But for the most part, if there's something that I need to remember, like for example, this week on Thursday, it is World Mental Health Day. And at school, the kids are all wearing non-uniform, but they have to wear yellow. And instead of putting that in the calendar, I put it as a reminder. The kids need to wear yellow today. And I added a early reminder to go off this morning, so I know for tonight that I need to remind them to pull something out that's yellow. So, yeah, first app I open every single day is Reminders, then probably followed by calendar, I think, at the moment. That's what I seem to be doing. And then the third one, and I would class this as quite possibly the most important app that I open first thing in the morning. It's the first one that I am doing not because I require information from it, but I want to use it. And that is Overcast, which is a podcast application. I open that, I pop my headphones in, I start listening to a podcast while I get the kids' breakfast ready and get them ready for school. First thing every day, I pretty much always got Overcast running at some point. So thank you for that, whoever sent that in. It was a long time that you sent that in. I make no promises to answer these questions right away, as I've said before, simply because some questions, they're good to put in the bank for those days when I haven't got a super relevant one or a super specific one or a super interesting one. Not that that isn't an interesting question. It's just, you know, not the most interesting. I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say, right? Yeah. Anyway, please send more questions in. If you'd like to open up the show with a question, just like Anonymous did today, you just have to go to thatsafreebie.com or head to the show notes for any episode of That's a Freebie. And there is a link you can click and it will say, would you like to leave some feedback? And you can do. You can even leave a subject for Podtails. And I've had a few subjects sent in for Podtails, which I will be getting to in due course. I have noticed them. I just want to finish the series that I'm currently doing first. So let's move on with the show. Do you remember a few weeks back when I was telling you about the barrier in Asda? So they split the entranceway into an innie and an outie, and they put a fence up in the middle of it to stop people from wandering over the different sides, and no one was getting it. Well, guess what? They tore that barrier down. It came crumbling down, and now there's no divide. We are able to walk freely through the foyer once again. They still have the entrances labeled as entrance and exit, but of course, nobody's following that. It's making it a little bit difficult because of the way the barriers internally work, but it now means you don't have to walk through the whole shop if you need the toilet first, which I think is quite possibly the best change that they've made, because I nearly always need to have a wee when I go to Asda. I don't know why. It's because I've been in the hot car and I get into the cold weather and then I need a wee. I'm getting old. What can I say? I was driving to school the other day, just yesterday, in fact, and somebody did that thing where I've done it. I'm sure we've all done it. You accidentally park behind a row of parked cars, not realizing that they are, in fact, parked cars. I hope I'm not the only one who's done this. I know I'm not the only one because this guy did it, but he went way over the top. So we're driving along and, you know, I go round the cars that are all on the left-hand side because I knew they were parked up, and I stop at the lights in front of me and I looked in my mirror and I could see that there was a guy behind me who was like six cars back, but he'd stopped in the middle of the road and I couldn't quite work out why he'd stopped. And it turned out that he thought that all the parked cars were a lane of cars. I mean, half of them were on the pavement, so I don't know how he thought that, to be truthful. But he did. And I was like, oh, silly Billy, I've done that. I bet he feels like a right wally now. But no, starts honking his horn, screaming out of his window. It's like, I don't know what he was saying. I couldn't hear him, but all I could see was him getting really irate in his car. And the cars behind him are honking at him. He must be assuming that the honking at everybody else is something. I've genuinely no idea what was going on through his mind. But then he got out of the car, walked up to the car that was in front of him, went to bang on the window and realised that there was nobody in the car. And that was the point where he must have thought, ah, oh, no, what an idiot. So he slams, walks back to his car, stamping his feet, shouts at the car behind him, slams his door, gets in, drives really, really fast. I thought he was going to run into the back of me. He'd obviously just driven off in anger. Slams his brakes on behind me and then starts yelling through his window at me. I get no idea what he was actually saying, but he's looking up. He's got his hands on the steering wheel, squeezing really hard, like proper white knuckling. And he's like, rah, 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 rah. I have no idea what the hell he was saying. But I just smiled. I was like, don't know what happened there, but he completely lost his mind. Probably felt a bit stupid, that's what it was. I am very sorry this week, I must apologise. I have no tram story. But I do have a bus story. It's not even that interesting of a bus story, but I have a bus story. I was like, I need a tram story. I haven't got one. The trams weren't working this weekend. So, well, they were working, but they weren't going through the stop that I needed. A bit like the previous week, actually. This was planned, though. So it led to me having to get the bus, which is always interesting. The bus is a weird place. Somebody sat next to me. This wasn't even the story, I've just remembered. Somebody sat next to me who, she had a family in front of her. She was sat in the seat next to me and just proceeded to keep leaning across me to talk to the family instead of just talking to them. You know, I was like, can you just, like, you know, have your conversation later? None of it was important. But no, kept leaning across me, so a bit weird. But yeah, the bus story. I'm so used to saying tram. The bus story. First of all, I forgot how mental bus drivers are. Like, this guy was ploughing along. He hit every single curb on every single corner. And every time I heard him go, oops, it was like he was doing it on purpose to see how many corners he could hit. But the bus is shaking side to side. It was not a fun experience. But what the weird thing about it was, I'm sat in my seat. This was actually the trip there. The obnoxious lady was on the way back, but this was on the trip there in the morning, headed into work. I'm sat in my seat and I suddenly couldn't move my foot. Like, I know it sounds weird, but I was trying to adjust my legs position and my foot was stuck to the floor. I was like, oh no, have I stood in something sticky? So I'm trying to pull it backwards and forwards and it wouldn't move. So to the point where sticky wasn't really the way of describing it. So I lifted my foot up and discovered that there was a nail sticking up out of the floor, like just a nail. Luckily, it wasn't long enough to go all the way through my shoe. It was probably sticking up by about an inch, and it had stuck into the bottom of my shoe because I'd stood on it, but it hadn't gone all the way through my shoe. I reckon if I put some pressure on, I probably could have got it through, but obviously I didn't want to do that because, well, that would hurt and I would probably get some sort of infection. It looked like somebody had been doing some work on the bus underneath and they'd just hammered a nail straight through and not even thought to check. So yeah, nail sticking up out the floor. I told the driver as I got off and he went, right. I don't even think he knew what I was talking about, to be honest. All the going and looking at schools for my daughter over the last few weeks, just, I don't know if they've made me think about when I was at school and what it was like. And I've been telling her a few stories about how what it was like to be at school when we were kids, and you know, if it's just essentially just trying to prepare her for what might be out there, I suppose is the way of putting it. And it just led me thinking to a few stories from when I was a kid, and one of them specifically popped into my mind. I may have told this story before on here, I lose track, but I'm telling it again because it's a good story. So we were in primary school at this point. I was probably in year, oh my word, it would have been like year three or four. Yeah, I reckon it would have been year three or four, maybe even two or three. I genuinely can't remember the age, but I remember the school I was at, and I didn't finish off my school years at this school. I moved to, well, two different schools after this one, in fact. I reckon I would have been about in year four. Let's go with year four. I don't even think it was called year four at that point. I seem to remember it being, which we called it infants one, infants two, and then juniors one, juniors two, juniors three. I think that's what we called it. But either way, it doesn't matter what was in. All I remember is I was young, right? And me and my best friend at the time, he was called David Tremaine, right? He was my best friend all through primary school until I left this primary school. And I really missed him when I'd left. And I went to different primary schools. And then eventually I went to high school. And I remember the day we went to high school, I'm sat on, for some reason, they piled us all into the gym. Not even into the gym, into the changing rooms in the gym. So all the new students were in the changing room, sat on these benches, chatting away. And I didn't know anybody because the primary school that I went to was a long way from where I lived. And the previous primary school I went to was even further. The reason we'd moved in the first place was because we moved house. My mum and my dad split up, so that we moved to different houses. So we moved away and I went to a different primary school for a short amount of time. Interestingly, that primary school, the reason I left that primary school is because they didn't allow left-handers in the school. They segregated us onto a separate table. So all the left-handers had to sit on a table. They called it the special table. This is what it was like back then. You would not get away with this now. And we had to do handwriting all day with our right hands to try and learn how to use our right hands. And if we couldn't use our right hands to do writing, we would eventually get shipped off to a different school. And that's basically what happened to me. I got moved to a different school, a much better school, to be truthful. It was great. I really enjoyed it at this school, at the other school. But like, they were so strict on this whole left-handed thing that one of the students who was on this table with me was the teacher's daughter. And she had to sit on this left-handers table. And we were absolutely treated like outcasts. It didn't go on for a long time. Or it didn't feel like it. Like, it wasn't a full school year. It was you've joined this school, sort this left-handed thing out. And if you can't, you're out. And that's basically what happened. It must have gone on for like 4 or 5 months, like from memory. I remember being there long enough that I made friends, but then long enough that I wasn't really that upset when I left. Anyway, that's not even the story I was telling. I eventually ended up at another high school, primary school. I did that thing where I went on a tangent. The reason I was telling you about all that is when I finally went to high school, we were in the changing rooms, and guess who was sat across from me? David Tremaine. There you go. That's that story. We were best friends then all the way up until the end of high school. Haven't seen him since. That's a story for another time. So going back, all the way to the beginning of that story. So me and David Tremaine are essentially messing about, pushing each other, chasing each other. Because, you know, we were kids. We used to play superheroes a lot. He was often Superman. I remember him actually biting somebody once in the playground who was pretending to be dead. And when he got in trouble, he said, well, it was the only way I could tell if he were really dead or not. And he got away with it because he did that. But yeah, he really bit them. I remember there being blood and everything. Anyway, another tangent. So we're messing about. This is in the hallway whilst waiting to go into class. And I still to this day don't remember which one of us did it, but it was technically both of us. One pushed the other, and I think it was me. I grabbed hold of the hose for the fire extinguisher that was on the wall and swung on it and ripped the fire extinguisher off the wall. And it clattered to the floor. It literally is. You know when you get a fire extinguisher and it just goes on a hook? That's all it was, and it just came off the wall. It could have easily just been hooked back on. But, of course, you know, it's school, so they had to make a big deal out of it, didn't they? So me and David Tremaine gets absolutely screeched at by the teacher. I don't even remember who the teacher was. Then we got sent to the head teacher's office, and she wasn't a nice head teacher. I didn't particularly like her. I remember that. I don't remember her name, though. It's going to annoy me that. Anyway, does it matter? You know, actually, I'm just going to do a quick Google because I would love to remember her name. Nope, can't find it. Anyway, so get sent to the head teacher's office. And so she just screams at us for like 5 minutes. I don't even remember half of what she said. She's just like, beep, 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 beep. She used to squeal. She's like, beep, 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 beep. I was like, oh, God. And I remember us standing there, like, heads down, hands behind our back, not knowing what to say. And she's asking loads of questions, but then when we come to answer them, she would scream at us again because we spoke. And we're like, well, you know, we're very confused, thinking, what the hell do you want from us, you crazy fool? And then, out of nowhere, she says, who's going to tell the fireman now? And I remember thinking, what? And she says, who is going to ring the fireman and tell the fireman that they've got to come and put that fire extinguisher back up? And even then I was like, it just hooks up. Like in my head, I'm thinking, you just put it on the hook. I know how to do it. And she says, in fact, you know what? You two should ring the fireman and tell them to come and put that fire extinguisher back up. And she points at the phone on her desk and she goes, there you go. There's the phone. Ring him. So we both stood there in silence for what felt like 17 years. It was probably like 5 seconds. And I looked at David and he looked at me. And I went, okay. I sort of shrugged. I took a step forward. I picked the phone up. I put it to my ear. And she's watching me do this. Right? I did it dead slowly in case she wanted to change her mind. Because I was thinking, surely I shouldn't be doing this. Puts the phone to my ear and she's looking at me going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she obviously thought, well, he doesn't know the number, does he? So I dialed 999. And as I dialed 999, she went, no! She walked over and snatched the phone out of my hand, slammed it down, pulled the phone away. And she went, what are you doing? And I went, you told me to phone the fireman. And that's what I'm doing. And she went, I didn't mean it. I was like, okay. And then she went, and then that's the point where she just went, I've had enough, get out. And we just left and went back to our classrooms and nothing was ever said again. And all I can think is, as we left that room, she probably sat down at her desk and thought, oh my God, no, that was terrible. What nearly happened? In my ongoing series of marketing mishaps, today I'm going to be dishing out a whopper of a tale. Yeah, I did mean to do that pun. Sorry. Yeah. So buckle up as we dive into Burger King's Whopper for a Penny promotion, an audacious campaign that tried to turn McDonald's biggest asset, their massive footprint, against them with fairly mixed results. I really like this one. Back in December 2018, Burger King, known for their cheeky and often bold marketing stunts, decided to pull off what they called the Whopper Detour. I think I actually do recall this being a thing. I don't know if it was a thing in the UK. I think I remember hearing about it at the time being a problematic idea. The concept was pretty simple, though, and honestly, it was pretty hilarious. It was a good idea. Burger King announced that anyone who downloaded the Burger King app and went within 600 feet of a McDonald's location could unlock a coupon for a 1 cent Whopper. Yep, that's right, a Whopper for just a penny. But the catch was, you had to be near a McDonald's, their biggest rival, to claim the deal. It was a clever attempt to swipe some of the foot traffic away from their competitor while promoting Burger King's revamped mobile app. The promotion was timed to coincide with Burger King's efforts to push more customers towards mobile ordering. With the fast food industry becoming increasingly app-driven, Burger King wanted to boost downloads of their app and drive more people to use it for ordering, which it's hard to think that these days that you wouldn't order using an app. Like, I would much prefer that. I tend to avoid places if there is an app ordering. So this is more than just a playful jab at McDonald's. It was a calculated strategy to grow their digital presence and customer engagement. So now let's talk about how it actually went down. So from a marketing standpoint, this was pretty genius. Burger King was able to troll McDonald's in a way that felt fun and harmless on the surface, but with the potential to pull business away from them. After all, what's better than getting a burger for a penny? But from the customer's perspective, things were a little less smooth. On the day the promotion launched, many eager customers who wanted to score a penny Whopper rushed to a McDonald's location, only to be met with frustration. The Burger King app experienced a wave of technical issues. Servers crashing, app glitches, the long load times. Yeah, the things that just generally make us want to not bother, right? And this caused some people to be unable to claim their offer. Some customers reported that even after following all the instructions, the coupon just wouldn't unlock, or the app froze as they got near a McDonald's. Let's not forget that this would have been a logistical nightmare for McDonald's at those locations. Imagine that you sat in a McDonald's drive-thru line while people are just parked outside or loitering around the building, glued to their phones, trying to unlock a Burger King coupon. It was a sight to see. And for McDonald's employees, this unexpected influx of non-customers probably caused a bit of confusion. Surprisingly, there's no real clear evidence that this promotion resulted in an increase in sales for McDonald's. While some McDonald's locations may have seen a slight uptick in foot traffic with people visiting to claim the Burger King deal, it likely didn't translate to a significant boost in their bottom line. Some customers may have bought something from McDonald's if a BK app glitched or they simply gave up, but any sales bump would have been minor and unintended. Well, obviously it was unintended. Why would Burger King want to boost sales at McDonald's? The campaign was all about getting people eager to engage with Burger King's app, not shifting market share to McDonald's. I mean, that one's a bit obvious, right? But yeah, I would have expected McDonald's to see an uptick in people just going, you know what, I give up, I'm just going to get a burger while I'm here. That would have been funny, actually, if it resulted in a boost of business to McDonald's instead of Burger King. Despite the technical issues and the chaos, there's no denying that the promotion generated a lot of buzz. The campaign received widespread media attention, and social media was flooded with posts from people after celebrating their 1 cent Whopper win. Or then think about how the app crashed on them. And in a way, all the app glitches only fueled the conversation. After all, there's no such thing as bad publicity, right? Not sure I agree with that, but close. From Burger King's perspective, the Whopper detour was actually a success. The app saw a surge in downloads, over a million within a few days, and the brand got people talking in a big way. By using McDonald's as a pawn in their own game, Burger King managed to elevate themselves as a more playful, daring brand. But for the average customer, the experience was a mixed bag. Some scored a practically free burger, while others were left with nothing but a story of an app that let them down. Now, if we step back and look at the bigger picture, this promo highlights an important trend in marketing, the increasing importance of mobile technology in fast food industry. Burger King just wasn't trying to sell burgers. They were trying to build a long-term relationship through their app, which could lead to future promotions, loyalty programs, and repeat customers. And while the Whopper for a penny stunt may have had its hiccups, it put Burger King's app on the map in a big way. So what can we learn from this? Well, sometimes bold ideas have messy executions, but they can still pay off in the long run. And for us as consumers, it's a reminder that when a deal seems too good to be true, sometimes you're better off staying in the McDonald's drive-thru line than taking the detour to Burger King. If you want even more That's a Freebie, then you should join That's a Freebie Plus. Just head to the show notes or thatsafreebie.com and click the link. There, you can join for just £4 a month. Your membership gets you the plus feed of the show, which is sent out immediately after it's recorded, which includes almost zero edits, other than long gaps, so you can hear me plan the show and hear all of my mistakes. This feed includes the exclusive That's a Freebie Plus segment at the end of the show. And if you can't do that, or you don't want to, that's okay. You can still help by sharing the show far and wide and leaving a review in your favourite podcast client of choice. I've noticed a trend in my listener analytics. And it's a strange trend, and I've been trying to work out what it is for a while. I mean, now that I've realised it, it is pretty obvious, but it just took a while for it to sort of sink in. So I've noticed this more in YouTube figures than I've noticed in the regular RSS feed figures. The regular RSS feed figures tend to be pretty much the same each week. As in, I have the same average listens each week. Now, each show when I release it does have quite low figures, but it tends to be over the course of the next few weeks and months that it boosts up. Because as with most podcasts, people are behind. This one isn't an episodic podcast. So you can listen to a 4 month old episode and it's completely relevant still, because I'm not necessarily talking about current events or anything like that. So it is that kind of podcast where people are more often than not listening to the back catalogue than the current episode. I get, a lot of the current episode I tend to get, like the same day is always pretty much the same numbers every single week, because there's the hardcore listeners that are essentially up to date, I suppose. Anyway, the YouTube ones, I've noticed a trend of, I will either get quite a few for my podcast. Some people will probably be like, oh, it's not worth getting out of bed for that. But I actually don't care that much, to be truthful. I just like making it. But it is interesting to see when you're getting listens and which episodes worked best and things like that. And I have noticed that there are some episodes that just get like zero listens on YouTube, and it's really, really weird. And then the last week's episode, for example, the week before last, zero listeners. And then the episode after that, within the first 3 hours, I'd like 20. And I'm like, how does that happen? And that's a pattern I've noticed. Some episodes just get completely, absolutely nothing to start with. And then they start to build up over the course of the weeks, just like they do on the regular RSS feed. And it took me ages to realize, but it's the title of the episode. So it's when I've added the topic of the week, the Podtails topic, it's when I've added that to the title of the episode that I get more listeners, basically. Or the title is a more widely searched phrase, I suppose, is the answer. That it gets more listens. So what I'm going to start doing, I'm going to actually start naming the episodes based on the Podtails topic, which is a bit easy for me anyway, because sometimes I struggle to come up with an episode title. I sometimes struggle to come up with an episode, to be honest, but titles as well. So I just thought I'd let you know, but that's just an interesting fact I've noticed, and you'll probably see that the episode titles are going to start matching with the Podtails topic of the week. For example, this episode will probably be called One Penny Whopper. This week's podcast of the week is Robot or Not. It's a great, quick podcast. It's like the episodes are like between 3 and 15 minutes, but more often like 3 minutes. It's a really short podcast, and it is just Jason Snell and John Siracusa talking about things that people have sent in and comparing is to, like, it started as, is this thing a robot or is it not? Navy do, like, is a burrito a sandwich or is it not? And they discuss the merits of a sandwich and a burrito and decide whether actually it could be classed as a sandwich or it couldn't be classed as a sandwich. I'm not going to spoil that one for you. But they compare all kinds of things. It's all things that listeners have sent in. And there's a whole back catalogue there. It's funny to listen to. It's interesting to see some of the opinions sometimes. Great podcast. You should absolutely give that one a listen. Just like all of the ones that I suggest, because I am great at picking these things. So while I was on my journey of nostalgia thinking about schools, I got to thinking about the time I first found out I was colourblind. I actually didn't believe it at first because I didn't feel like I was having any trouble. But I went for an eye test. I remember going with my mum and we sat in the opticians and I did the tests as you do. And the optician said, how long have you been colorblind? I mean, I feel like now that's a stupid question because surely it's all your life. You don't suddenly become colorblind. Or not that I know of. Maybe I need to look that up. But either way, she said it and we were like, he's not colorblind, my mum said. And I was like, yeah, I'm not colorblind. I can see colors. And she did another test and she's like, yep, you're colorblind. And honestly, the diagnosis just came completely out of the purple.